So for those friends who will listen to this harvest message later online, I would like to welcome you and set the scene in our little chapel at Westcote. We've once again enjoyed singing some of our favourite hymns, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. And of course, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground. And our chapel is decorated not so much with fruit and vegetables, but by tins and packets, which will be sent next week to the food bank. There are some beautiful flowers in the corner, which Joan has brought, and I think they're sunflowers, aren't they? Absolutely super. I love the colour. So we've read the classic harvest story, the parable of the sower. We've read from Mark's account in chapter 4, and perhaps you'd like to have it in front of you. You would think that it would be easy to speak at a harvest Thanksgiving service because there is the theme it's set out for you. However, it's not just as easy as that because there are many different scriptures about harvest. One of my favourites is in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, which says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord for the good land he's given you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the ability to produce wealth." And I suggest today that it's just as appropriate as it was in those thousands of years back when it was written. Or one could speak about Joseph. And you remember the story of Joseph? It's the one with the multicoloured coat. And the 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. That's a fantastic story, and there's more than one sermon in that one. In the New Testament, there are many appropriate verses. Galatians 6 says, "Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Do I speak of one of the burning issues of our day, which is climate change? But my wife tells me she hears enough about that anyway. So I maybe will pass that by. But it does seem our stewardship of nature is being called into question. We have been given huge responsibility, and it does seem that we are found wanting. What about the promise of the rainbow? As long as the earth lasts, Scripture said, there will be seed time and harvest. Do I talk about the way we take our food for granted, at least until shelves on the supermarket become bare? Tesco's up at Stowe, I shouldn't advertise, of course, but it's doing pretty well so far. Strangely, on the shelves for the cereals, they've been well stocked, except for the one that Hazel likes. I kid you not, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's been none of that particular cereal there. I've no idea why. And only again this week we hear that our energy sources may be insufficient to keep us warm this winter. I've just had my chainsaw serviced, so I hope we will be okay. Thank you, Trevor. What about folks in some countries where still they hardly know where the next meal is going to come from? How does that sit with the food waste in our country? We've touched on that. So I've struggled, to be honest, to know which way to go this morning. I try not to think too much about next Sunday's sermon until last Sunday is done, because otherwise I get myself completely tied up in knots and confused. But I found myself early on Tuesday morning turning these thoughts over in my mind and praying for direction. And until I get pen to paper, I get no rest. I had a bad night on Tuesday. However, I did get it. Oh, that was Monday night, and it was Tuesday morning. I began to get some thoughts down on paper. I'm grateful to our farming friends, Liz and Martin, locally at Chadlington, and Anthony and Honna in Hampshire. And it's Anthony that's going to talk to us about harvest on Zoom this evening, which I believe will be really interesting. One thing has registered on my mind, and that is that it was a mixed harvest. And that's what led me to the parable of the sower, as it is a story of a mixed harvest. Jesus used many everyday story illustrations that his hearers would understand to talk about deeper truth. What a different picture it paints of farming methods to what we have today. the sower simply broadcasting the grain from a basket hanging around his neck. And that simple method of sowing seed persisted for hundreds of years until the seed drill was invented in 1721 by a gentleman called Jethro Tull. What a wonderful name. It was a horse-drawn machine, and I remember learning about that for my history O-level because I did the industrial and the agricultural revolution. But I'd done a bit of research and a bit of looking into that. How things have changed, and yet the harvest is still mixed. Our modern methods are amazing and fantastic. The week before this week, I put a photo on our bulletin of Liz and Martin's New Holland combine harvester. Possibly not the biggest one, but a big one anyway. Possibly with between a 20 and 30 foot cut. And the binders would have been about 5 foot. And so was our first combine. How things have changed, and yet the harvest is still mixed. Jesus is talking about the harvest of souls here. And I want to suggest three principles involved in producing a harvest, whether it's the natural harvest on which we depend for our very lives, or the spiritual harvest, harvest of souls. Faith, sacrifice, and perseverance. I'm disappointed they don't all belong to they don't all start with the same letter. But I tried, but it just didn't work. Sometimes it does. Firstly, we need to sow in faith. The farmer and gardener know by experience that he or she can hope for and expect a harvest. Seeds of winter wheat and oilseed rape are already being planted this autumn in faith that there will be a harvest next year, and the hope often is that it will be a better harvest next year than the one this year. In the parable of the sower, the seed being sown is God's word, the Bible, in short. And all of us who are involved in sowing that word must believe that there will be a harvest. We must sow in faith, faith. Otherwise, we just wouldn't bother, would we? We're realistic, of course. The lesson of the parable involves understanding that, sadly, some of the seed will perish for a number of different reasons. Just like the way much of the seed on the farms perished last winter because the conditions were not right for it. But some seed will grow and bear fruit. In the Bible it says, God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish that for which he sent it. I think too, it's worth saying that this is not just about ministers and preachers. Yes, we have a great opportunity to sow seeds of God's word on occasions like this. But every believer, every Christian has the opportunity to give a word of testimony, a word of encouragement, and not just a word, perhaps even more important, a deed of kindness, which speaks of the love of Jesus. The work of sowing seeds of the good news of Jesus is for every one of us. And so we sow in faith that there will be a harvest of souls. Sowing in faith. Secondly, there is no harvest, I suggest, without sacrifice. In John's Gospel, we read this. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. Farming, like other callings, is not a 9-to-5 job with a weekend off. It involves self-sacrifice. When conditions are right, everything else must be laid aside until that task is done, whether it be sowing or reaping or all of the activities in between. As you know, my folks were farmers, and I well remember how difficult it was to get a holiday. Mum used to want a holiday, and of course us boys did too. It was difficult to get Dad away from the farm. We used to get away occasionally, sometimes in May, just before haymaking. And I remember one year, quite vividly, we went to Skegness because my mum's sister had a caravan there. We were unlucky with the weather. There was a very cold east wind, and I remember Dad saying, "This is colder than Westcote." And I think he was right. We did have one or two better days before we came home, which kind of saved the holiday. We sacrificed some things that others would have taken for granted. When Jesus makes this statement about the grain of wheat falling into the ground, I think he's clearly thinking of his coming death on the cross, Calvary. It was there on the cross that he would suffer alone and sacrifice his life so there would be a harvest of souls, so that you and I, who accept Jesus into our lives as our Saviour and our Lord, might be gathered into that eternal kingdom that we've been singing about. He made the supreme sacrifice so there would be a harvest of souls. His sacrifice was unique. But there is also a sense in which we who try to sow seeds of kindness, seeds of the gospel, must be prepared to sacrifice if we wish to see a harvest in our own patch, in our own field, in our own parish. Perhaps we should all search our hearts and ask the question, how much are we prepared to sacrifice our own comfort and our own ambitions in order to sow seeds of God's word into people's lives? Jesus says the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's a kind of hyperbole which is all about priorities. It's all about what our main aim in life is. Is it just to have a great time, an easy life, or is it about sowing seeds of the gospel? I'd love to make a mark in this parish. It saddens me enormously that so few people are interested in church or chapel. And I just hope and pray that somehow the Lord will work in our community and touch people's lives. I'm always challenged by some of the words of the covenant service, which we usually have at the beginning of the year. I quote, "Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves." But that last bit is where the sacrifice comes in. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. I suggest there will not be much of a harvest without sacrifice on our part, and of course there would be no harvest of souls without the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Thirdly, and finally, I believe there is little or no harvest without perseverance, or endurance, you might say. Both words have similar meaning. In the natural world, on the farm and in the garden, there are times when disappointment is so great we're tempted to give up. Not going to bother anymore. Difficult weather patterns, plant diseases, pests, all these things must be contended with, and we don't always seem to win. My small vegetable garden has also seen a mixed harvest this year. My beans, the broad beans and runner beans, have cropped well. In fact, we're still picking the runner beans now, and I'm getting a little bit tired of them, if I'm honest. But the brassicas have been a great disappointment. They have been spoilt by large white butterflies. They're not called cabbage butterflies for nothing. I did my best to keep them out. I cobbled together some nets, but it wasn't good enough. They found their way in. I slightly miffed, actually. I was sorry that Peter and Penny couldn't come this morning, because we did a bit of watering for them while they were on holiday, so I had a look, quiet look round his garden. And his brassicas are amazing. Honestly, they're somewhere up here. Yes, he's got a net all over them, but there's holes in the net. Big holes. Much bigger holes than the nets that I had here. But butterflies don't seem to have got in there. It's absolutely amazing. I was a bit miffed about that. I'll have a word with Peter and try and find out what the secret is. So it is with the sower of God's word. There are lots of disappointments. The seed that falls on rocky ground that the enemy seems to snatch away immediately. Seed that appears to bear fruit in people's lives, but when testing time comes, they fall away. We talked about the persecution. It's very humbling as we think about Christian friends in other countries who are really experiencing persecution at the moment, but they go on. They don't fall away. They don't lose hope. Simply for others, the word is choked because of troubles and pleasures, two opposite extremes, but inevitable experiences of life. And sometimes there is no time or energy left to feed on God's word. Yes, we could very easily be discouraged, and sometimes am, by the apparent lack of response to our efforts to reach out and share the good news of Jesus to our families, our friends, our neighbours and communities. But despite all of these disappointments, I believe we're called on to persevere, to be faithful in season and out of season, because we never know when the seed will fall on good ground and produce fruit, produce a harvest. As I quoted earlier, Galatians 6:9, look it up at your leisure. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That last phrase is the key, isn't it? It's not been easy for us through lockdown, has it, with all the restrictions and disruption of church life. It would have been easy to become downhearted and frustrated by our current situation. But I think we should be encouraged. The updating of our website, which was done just before the pandemic got going, and Tudor's willingness to post our talks on weekly or more or less weekly, which, as I said earlier, apparently can get up to 50 hits. I think that's wonderful. And we're getting around 25 friends, and we're about that number, I think, this morning for Sunday worship, which for our rural situation, I think, is actually amazing. I mean, there's not a massive footfall outside the chapel, is there? But folks gather in, and I think that's wonderful. On Zoom Sunday evening, we expect around 20 people, and we've just restarted our Thursday fellowship with similar numbers and different groups of people. Yes, we do overlap. Some of us try to do it all. Others come into one or the other. But we're reaching out to quite a lot. And then, of course, our weekly bulletin, which I had absolutely no intention of going on as long as this. But people say to me, oh, don't give it up. I like this. I like that. So it kind of like there's no pressure. But I feel at the moment I must try to keep it going. And that's going out to over 100 households, I think. And, of course, the newsletter as well. I'm very happy that we hope to have Cafe Church in October. You will see that in the newsletter in the Village Hall, which is a church chapel initiative. And yes, it's the 24th of October. And pray that at least some from our village who don't normally attend a chapel, the chapel or the church, will come along. Anna Pyle, our circuit children and family worker, will be sharing something of her story, which I think will be interesting because Anna is from Russia. I have no idea how she found herself moving from Russia into the Whitney circuit, but she has. Through all these means of communication, we hope and pray that God's word will be sown into people's lives. And we know that the response will be mixed. Someone said, if you want something to last a long time, plant a flower. If you want something to last at least 100 years, plant a tree. If you want something to last forever, plant the gospel. We may or may not live to see a harvest, but our challenge is to sow in faith, to be prepared to sacrifice, remembering the sacrifice of Christ who gave his life for us, and to persevere, even when the going is tough and there seems to be very little response. God never gives up, so neither should we. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us in our mission to sow seeds of kindness, seeds of your love, seeds of hope, and especially during these testing times. We pray that through it all, our families, our friends, our neighbours, our communities will turn to you and trust you themselves, trust their futures to you for this life and the next. Lord, please May we see a harvest of souls, as we seek to continue to sow seeds of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.